That's from his Revival in Belfast album, Robin Mark. And You're the Lion of Judah. Before that, Pam Thumb with Turn, 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 the lyrics by Solomon from the book of Ecclesiastes. About 11 minutes after the hour here on our Tuesday morning together. And of course, if it's Tuesday, that must mean Glenshaw, Pennsylvania is on the itinerary. And it is. John DeLancey, Reverend Dr. John DeLancey, joins us now from Glenshaw. John, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning to you guys.
And I'm my first thought for some reason just popped into my head. Are you umpiring today?
I am not. Ooh. Our high school season is essentially over, and summer ball has started, but I have a church council meeting tonight, so I will not be umping tonight.
Well, I'm just thinking, being a pastor and umpiring, are the two compatible or I somehow feel comforted. I would feel comforted if the umpire I knew to be a pastor.
Well, I think sometimes coaches appreciate that side of things when they understand what I do. And other coaches, unfortunately, doesn't really make a big difference.
Do you notice that they, during an argument, a heated argument about safer out at second base, that they tone down the rhetoric a little bit, clean up their language?
Well, theoretically, that's how it's supposed to work, but it usually doesn't.
Okay. Well, maybe you should wear like a T-shirt that says, I'm a pastor. Be nice.
I do have a business card like that says what I do in terms of umpiring. So
I could see the next time an opposing manager runs out, kicks dirt on your shoes, and has nose to nose, and you hand him a business card, he would feel much better.
It doesn't really happen to that degree in the type of baseball that I umpire, but well, nonetheless.
Do you do college, high school, American Legion?
I do high school and college during the school year, and then Legion and Palomino and adult leagues, you know, like college leagues in the summer.
Do you do like senior leagues so old people like us go out and play?
Do you have there's actually a 35 and older league.
Well, those are still kids.
Yeah, they're still kids. There's actually a 50 and older.
Oh, okay. Now we're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah, and believe it or not, Pittsburgh Penguin, I have to say this because the Penguins begin their second series tonight.
Yeah.
The announcer for the Pittsburgh Penguins is one of the coaches, and I was actually asked to play on their team, but I'd rather be out there making money than running around the bases. So,
yeah.
But he's a nice guy, and there are leagues, I should say, that are for older guys, and just for the love of the game, they're out there, and sometimes they can't run too well, but nonetheless, it's fun.
Well, it's interesting that in the old days, and I mean the old days, going back 100 years, baseball used to be the gentleman's sport, and one of the rules was to civil language and behavior, and you would address people as sir, and it was like that, and they still reflect that in something called vintage baseball leagues around the country, and Pennsylvania should be hot country for that. Where they wear the old uniforms, play by the old rules, you know, maybe a little tiny glove, if any glove at all, and they have their families out there and Sunday picnics and get together and play baseball the way it was played back in the 1860s, 1870s. So,
Last year I umpired in the Pony World Series, which is held here in Washington, Pennsylvania. It's the one age step up from the Little League World Series that happens in Williamsport.
Yeah,
but it's interesting that when you ump, for instance, the Taipei or the Chinese team, they actually get in the mail in the box and they turn to you as the plate ump and they bow to you. And we were told that we needed to reciprocate the favor or the honor. So
you bow back, bow in return.
Quite a respectful perspective, I should say, in how they approach baseball.
John DeLancey, our resident archaeologist, he's, of course, a pastor in Glenshaw and takes frequent tours to Israel. He's just back from one. He's just about to head out for another one. There's a May one, a June one, and a November one, and maybe more. He's a busy guy, so we really appreciate your time here, John. You sent us some amazing pictures here. And later this conversation will be on our website, so you can see these pictures. I'll link to them. I'll include them in the post. But tell us what I'm looking at. This is a long, looks like a paved road with columns down either side, and I don't see a lot there to help me with scale. But that must be what 15, 20 feet wide, this road, and lined with columns. What am I looking at?
You're looking at the city of Beit Shan. It's known in the Old Testament as the place where as recorded in 1 Samuel 31, where after Saul and his sons were killed on Mount Gilboa, which is very nearby, they took the Philistines, that is, they took his body and they hung his body on the walls of Beit Shean. And the picture that you're looking at is from the Old Testament tell, which rises far above the Roman city that was built here by actually Pompeii and beyond. So this
would have been just open country, basically, in Saul's day then. And so what I'm looking at are probably Roman-era structures, the columns and road.
Yeah, what you're seeing is a Roman cardo. Mm-hmm. The street was called a cardo, a north-south cardo, just like we have the word cardiology, which speaks about the heart. Mm-hmm. The main road in Roman days was called the cardo, and this particular street does date to the Roman time. In 63 BC, the Romans came and renamed this city Scythopolis from Beit Shean, and it was actually one of the 10 Decapolis cities.
So this would be on the western shore of, I'm sorry, the eastern shore of Galilee then?
Well, it's actually on the western side of the Jordan River. It's the only one of the 10 was built and, of course, mentioned in other sources. The primary one on the eastern side that we typically visit in Jordan is a place called Jerash. But Beit Shean or Scythopolis was known, no doubt, to Jesus. We don't know if he visited here. It was a huge Roman city, a very pagan city, but yet nonetheless very impressive archaeologically.
Well, proper Jews were not permitted to go there, really. I mean, they were thoroughly discouraged from going there.
Yeah, the rabbi said that even if a shadow of a Gentile would fall on you, you would be deemed unclean. Mm-hmm. Of course, in Mark 5, when Jesus says, hey, guys, let's go over to the area of the Gadarenes, if you remember that story where mm-hmm. Jesus confronts or encounters this demoniac, mm-hmm. and the whole legion demon story, well, I'm sure those disciples probably scratched their heads and said, Jesus, we're going where? To this Gentile area? Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. So, yes, indeed, Jews avoided Gentile cities, but there were, on some occasions, no doubt they were familiar with it and probably went around this city of Beit Shean, but no doubt familiar with the massive size and the importance of this city.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a modern city nearby now?
There is. It's actually a really, really nice city. It's a very mild weather. This city is about 20 miles south of the Sea of Galilee, but it's in the Jordan River, and historically and geographically, it's very important because of its location. It sort of guarded the north-south route down the Jordan River basin, but also it protected the eastern approach into the Jezreel Valley. So that's why even on top of the Old Testament tell, we find evidence that the Egyptians were here, believe it or not, when they came and took a few cities and areas and regions here. I'm talking about a time period before the time of Joshua, but no doubt a very significant city both in Old Testament and New Testament times.
Now, I have a question for you. Back in... Mm-hmm. In Second Temple times, when, let's say, Passover came, I know that people from all over the north, the Jews, would pour down that Jordan River Valley, come through Jericho, and then go up to Jerusalem to the temple. Would they have had to avoid this area?
They would have gone right through. The city, of course, guards this main route that would have headed south down to Jericho, and then, of course, a sharp right or west up to Jerusalem. But no doubt they would have passed by it and would have been very familiar with it.
Okay. Well, it's an awesome spectacle. Some great photographs here. There'll be three tremendous photographs posted with our conversation this morning a little bit later on at BrokenRoadRadio.com. I got to look at this third picture. Well, there's one. This aerial view is impressive. It shows the length of the street. Is this an active archaeological site now?
It really is. It was initially excavated back in the 1920s to 30s, But then Ami Mazar, Hebrew University, led an excavation from 1989 to 1996. And this was during the time when the economy and the unemployment rate was rather high in Israel. So interesting what they did is they secured unemployed people and actually gave them a job of digging here. So hundreds of unemployed people were given an opportunity to dig here with Ami Mazar. And because of so many people all at once digging, this is what was exposed in a matter of just a few years.
It's amazing what you can do when you work together.
Amazing. Mm. The Old Testament tell was the only thing that really could be seen. But when this excavation went full kilt, this carta was revealed, Roman baths, typical what you would find in a Roman city. Of course, a theater, pillar after pillar, just remarkable mosaics.
Now, was this all underground?
This was all underground, and it's just a massive city, and they still think still have more of the city to excavate. Even when you leave the site of Beit Shan into the more modern city or town of Beit Shan today, you can still see some of the remains sort of poking up out of the ground there. So a lot of the city has still not been excavated.
You know, it's hard for me to grasp how such a how such a big place can become totally covered and buried even over time. Is that a natural process?
Pretty much it is. We know the city was very prominent even up through the late Roman period, but in 749, an earthquake struck this whole region.
Okay.
And this was really the end of the city as we know it. You can see the pillars in some areas of the city that they all sort of fell in one direction. So this is sort of a firsthand evidence that this earthquake was responsible for, you know, dozens of these massive columns being toppled over in the same direction.
Yeah, David, are you looking at the photos? Did you get the photos?
Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures now, and you've been asking the questions that I've been thinking about just before I'm able to blurt them out. That's amazing. I mean, this is, we're talking about a building that's, 80 feet, 100 feet high, and it was buried?
Well, the theater itself, only the top of it was exposed, for instance, in the early 80s. People knew something was underneath, but they had no idea that the city was as massive as what was revealed ultimately.
You got to wonder how many other places there are like this that we haven't found yet.
Yeah, well, it's just a matter of manpower. I mean, this city would not have been revealed archaeologically unless, you know, these hundreds of people would have been used to help the lead excavation and archaeologist to dig over these, you know, 6-8 years during the prime time of when the excavation was taking place. Mm-hmm. It's really remarkable. You know, the view from the top of the tell. Now, a tell, of course, is an ancient mound, and there certainly would have been a hilltop on which the primary or initial city of Beit Shan was built. But even to find Egyptian remains on top, residents, life-size statues of Ramses III, for instance, inscriptions even from the reigns of Seti I and Ramses II, and we're talking, you know, probably the time period of the judges. So that's even more unique to Israel, knowing that not only were Canaanites here and Midianites and Jebusites from the time of Joshua and beyond, even up to the first king of in the name of Saul, but Egyptians were here and certainly knew the importance of Beit Shan themselves, or else they wouldn't have not been posted here for
looking at these photos. Purposes. I see no tourist groups. There are a few people scattered around in these photos. Is this a revered site, or is it just open and exposed? Is it fenced off, guarded?
Well, the pictures I sent you were from my April trip last month, and we were actually the first ones here, so we actually had the whole site to ourselves.
Yeah, I see the sun angle is probably early in the day or late in the day.
Yeah, it was from the east, and that's why we wanted to come to Beit Shan early in the morning so that from the top we can actually look westward and see this massive Roman city.
It's just very impressive. Yeah, David, how'd you like that? David
acts. Beyond words.
David's in theater now and then. He does that. How'd you like to perform in that theater? Would that be awesome?
Well, it would depend upon who was cast as the lion. You know, that would be my determination.
Oh, Bert Lahr plays the lion, I think.
If it was me and Bert, then that'd be fine.
That would be.
Yeah, I just the old acting bones are still there. And just to imagine that I would be standing in front of the stage and looking up at all those cheering, screaming Romans and them throwing fruit at me or something.
Yeah.
But I suppose I could do maybe a soliloquy from Julius Caesar.
You could do that. That would be apropos.
This is incredible and remarkable. And the thing that I keep, questioning in my mind is how could it be totally buried? I mean, we're not talking about, a little house. We're talking about a structure that is easily the size of the Mall of America, bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good comparison.
It's a huge, huge structure. And to imagine that it would be not just leveled, but buried intact underground. And one of my questions earlier was, how did these structures stay so pristine? I mean, they look like a movie set.
Because they were covered for all these centuries, especially after this earthquake in 749. Mm. The city was just abandoned, and I'm sure because of the earthquake, rubble over time gathered and accumulated and hence buried this massive site.
Is there an attempt to refurbish or repair places like this, or is it best just to leave it in the natural state, do you think?
Well, some of the pillars, of course, were place like the Cardo, some of those pillars have been reconstructed and replaced, but other parts of the site, you still see the pillars that are cracked in half and just laying there as they were when they were destroyed in 749.
Now, this would be a lifetime of work for an archaeologist. This
Absolutely.
Would be just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there comparable sites in Israel, or is this the largest?
Well, this is probably the largest Roman city. You know, Caesarea is huge on the coastline. Hazor is the largest archaeological city, but that's strictly Old Testament, and only just a portion of that city has been revealed or uncovered. So I would say Beit Shan is one of the massive cities here, not only in Israel, but even in the whole region, although Jerash in Jordan is certainly larger in terms of square footage, or that's actually goes a mile or two in either direction. Jerash is a huge site, but they're very similar in terms of what they have. You mentioned a theater here. Well, over towards where the modern city is located, there's an amphitheater there that had a higher wall, which probably meant that amphitheater was used for the purposes of particular, lions and,
animals. Colosseum kind of events.
Persecution
there. How many spectators do you suppose those theaters can hold?
This one probably held about 4,000.
Okay.
Some say a few more, but that's a good number of people watching, performance. The scene or the backdrop of the theater is still there. That would have been, of course, higher. Mm-hmm. People would have gathered. There would have been box seats and other less important seats, but some of those seats are still as they were found, too. This theater is just a really an impressive testament of the culture of Beit Shan back in Roman days.
Well, it speaks to a higher level of they were there for entertainment.
Yeah, they were.
They had leisure time. They had money to spend. Interesting stuff.
Look really closely, Jim. You can see the concession stand down there below. And I think I see an empty...
There's a cheese curd sign. I could see them.
Good and plenty box. I think it's
there it is. Yeah,
you look at really closely. You got to really look
stunning.
You have
photographs.
To use your imagination a little bit.
Yeah, you do. But, John, are you going back to this site on one of your next trips?
Yeah, we'll be there in May. I leave the Sunday. This Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hiking tour, so we'll be seeing some sites in a very unique way. Hiking up to the site or around the site or those kinds of experiences, encounters. In fact, at Baishan, there's one way you can enter from the backside of the site, which means hiking in at about a mile over ruins that have not yet been uncovered, believe it or not. So that's how massive this city really was. So
I get to see your tour group marching in single file, just kind of kicking over rocks and kind of looking around. And,
don't be kicking that rock.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
How could you not through a place like that? This is just astounding. And again, these photographs will be linked to our conversation, our audio file, the podcast on the website, brokenroadradio.com, a little later. But there's another site you should know about, and that's biblicalisraeltours.com. That's hosted by Pastor John, and it contains a lot of information about these tours. Now, you got one this month, and I imagine that's filled. But there's June and July and November. Are those the next three this year?
June, July, October, November.
So October, too. Okay.
Four more after this May trip.
And are these pictures on your site as well?
Yeah, they are. Okay. In fact, I just put about 200 panoramic pictures. Maybe I'll send you a link to that page as well. I just actually created it last night. So
okay. Well, yeah, do send the link, and we'll include that in the post, too, because it's a fascinating site, biblicalisraeltours.com. You can link to it from our website at Broken Road Radio and learn a lot, and hopefully just, maybe you can get on one of those tours. I mean, that would be just a dream come true. If you have an interest in history, and it doesn't even have to be in archaeology, just a sense of history, the grand sweep of history, this would be just an awesome experience, an experience of a lifetime. BiblicalIsraelTours.com. John?
Is there, and you might have mentioned it earlier and I missed it, but is there a connection to the Bible in this particular site?
Yeah, Beit Shan was where King Saul's body was hung. It's mentioned in 1 Samuel 31.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it was certainly a prominent city back then during the reign of Saul. He was killed in Mount Gilboa, which on the top of the tell you can actually see Gilboa just literally a few miles away.
Now, in what direction is Gilboa from that?
It's actually west.
West,
but
okay.
The people from Jabesh came from the east across the Jordan, if you recall, at night, and took down the body of Saul from the walls.
But you mentioned the Philistines. To me, this is kind of out of Philistine territory.
It really is, but the Philistines certainly were, they still had areas of control, and they, for the reasons why they wanted to take Beit Shan, or at least control the area, was because of the strategic location of the site. But the Philistines must have had a good relationship with those people here, most likely Canaanites, but also probably some Philistines as well.
Interesting stuff. And those pictures are amazing. We'll show them to you later.
Down those streets among those pillars and seeing the huge, massive structures, you have to feel like you've either slipped the bonds of the 21st century or you're walking on a different planet. And I mean, it's got to be just this, especially the first time, this very, very foreign, almost out-of-body feeling that you're someplace that nobody has ever, or a lot of people have been before, but no people, hardly anybody goes now.
Imagine going to that theater at midnight and just sitting there.
Mm. Yeah.
And just feeling the place. Just awesome. Yeah. John, thanks so much for the information today and the photos and the time spent. This has been a delight. And I guess we won't get to talk to you again for a couple of weeks because you're off to Israel. But hopefully we can we keep talking about this. And we've done it in the past, but perhaps we can record a conversation. Because of the time difference, we can't get John on with us live. He's busy during the time that we would be available mornings to talk to him. But if we can meet on Skype and record a conversation, kind of get an update from Israel on what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you're experiencing over there, that would be just great.
Sounds good. We'll try to make it work this time.
Okay.
John, appreciate it. Thanks very much. Have a safe trip. Travel safely. Be blessed. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, if not sooner. Goodbye.
Thank you, guys.
John Delancey from Glenshaw, Pennsylvania. Music from Brian Bates on a Broken Road Radio Tuesday morning. Good morning to you.